I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. I rarely get nervous when I talk to an actor in these Q&A sessions, but this one was different. Alan Alda has won 5 Emmy Awards and 6 Golden Globes. He's conquered television with MASH and The West Wing, stage with Glengarry Glen Ross, and film, The Four Seasons, Sweet Liberty, The Aviator. He's a director and writer. He's done everything, and he's done it with a master's hand. So, now you know why I was nervous. I got a chance to talk with Alan about his guest starring role as Jack's dad on 30 Rock. This is his third appearance on the show, and he talked to us about working with Alec Baldwin, MASH, acting, and his near-death experience that changed his life.
Well, MASH was a phenomenal success. How do you compare that with being on 30 Rock?
You know, it's very interesting. When I first went on 30 Rock, and this is now the third time I've been on the show, I had the same feeling about the group there that I had when we were doing MASH. It's a very collaborative company. Everybody knows where they're going and what they're doing, and they all are supportive of one another. They all recognize one another's personalities. They're one another's, and this, I'm sorry, that's redundant, but they all recognize one another's unique personalities, and they work with them, they play with them, they work around them. They're very tuned into one another, just the same way we were. And it's very nice to see that. It's a pleasure to see that. Plus, they're working in a way similar to what we did, only very in a very different kind of comedy. But it's similar to us in that they're taking chances, and we took chances. We were officially a comedy, but we worked in drama and satire and all kinds of different forms. And on this program, I think they're expanding to another kind of comedy, and that's risky. But the people who love it, I think, recognize how interesting and funny in a new way it is. And I'm one of those people who love it. I think it's just great.
And I understand that you had a near-death experience that had a profound effect on your life. Can you tell us about it, and how has this experience guided your life today?
Well, almost exactly 7 years ago, it was October 19th, 7 years ago, I was in Chile, and I was doing my science show there, the Scientific American Frontiers. And it was the last interview of the 10th season. And it was the very last interview I would do until the following year. And I was on top of a mountain in Chile with talking to astronomers. And I got this pain in my stomach, and it turned out to be a blocked intestine. It was about a yard of my intestine that had to be taken out in the middle of the night in an emergency operation. And I did nearly die. I came within a couple of hours of checking out, I think, and when the operation was over and I realized that I had survived, it really did make a tremendous impression on me. I was glad to be alive in a way I never had been before, and it stuck with me. It still sticks with me, and no matter how tough things get, I think That's not so bad. This isn't so bad, because I was supposed to be dead by now, you know. And I've had 7 years of a wonderful life that was an extra. It was a bonus. So when I, you know, it's really true that when I get a chance to do something new, something interesting, something that I had never done before. Like write a couple of books, like be on 30 Rock and share that experience with people who are pushing the frontier a little bit. It's very exciting to me, and I realize that it's something that I wouldn't have had. I mean, and that includes, you know, by comparison, the things I just mentioned are trivial compared to seeing my grandchildren grow up and seeing my daughters mature and become, who they were destined to be from the time they were little girls, but I might not have seen that. So it has changed my life, and I enjoy things a lot more. I even enjoy complaining more.
Since you've already played Milton, how do you connect or relate to him now as compared to your first guest spot?
Well, you know what? What's nice is every time a character shows up, we had this on MASH too, and something when I would write for the characters on MASH, I would look for this. What else can you find out about the person? Sometimes very little things. He's especially affectionate toward his son, who is played by Alec Baldwin, of course, and it irritates Alec. But for this guy to be so affectionate toward him, when you see little turns and twists on that, other ways he can be irritating to him, it's fun to discover those things. So it's really a process of seeing a little deeper each time into the person. If those things are bound to come out, if you keep showing the person, as long as they're interested in doing more than just a one joke thing, and these writers are really excellent, so they are interested in that.
Given who you were before you started in the industry and all the great roles you've had since, what have you learned about yourself that you may not have if you weren't an actor?
That's an interesting question. I think I have to give you the blue ribbon for asking a question that's never been asked before. But I don't remember it's being asked. Let's see, what have I learned that if I hadn't been an actor, I wouldn't have learned? I think it's very possible that I wouldn't have learned, well, probably a number of things, but one of the things I probably wouldn't have learned was to get in touch with my emotions the way I have to, because it's my professional obligation to. And there are an awful lot of people that don't have to and don't get in touch with their emotions. And I guess those are the ones who, with children who grow up saying their father was cold and that kind of thing. So that's one thing. Another thing is, I don't think I'd have gotten up so early every morning. Because for some reason they start, when you're on in front of a camera, they start the acting day at 8 o'clock in the morning. If I just stayed on the stage, I could have gotten up at noon, because you start a lot later. But there's also this thing of acting out on the sidewalk in the bitter cold. The only other time I had to do that was when I was a doorman before I could get very far in acting. So it's not that different. It's some of the same benefits you have as being a doorman.
How is it working with the rest of the cast on 30 Rock?
They're terrific. They're very precise about their work. They come in ready to do it, and they do it. They're able to keep up with this very fast pace that television has. But in the midst of that, in the course of it, they're really fun. They like to laugh, and they like to gossip, and it's just fun to be with them. So I really enjoy that, and they're very bright people, very very talented people. It's always inspiring to work with a talented person. I've known Alec Baldwin's work for a long time, and I've always known how talented he was, but. Tina is relatively new on the scene, and it just amazes me how much ability she has in so many areas. I mean, she can satirize, she can impersonate, she writes like a dream, and she's a wonderful actress, and she's really fun to be with, and it's fun to talk to her. So she's really an amazing character to me.
Oh, that's nice. And obviously, we've mentioned MASH. is that some, would you like to do another comedy series? Is that something you'd like to do, or do you want to stick to Guest Spot?
I like coming in and out of 30 Rock, so the more I can do that, the happier I'll be. For one thing, I didn't travel too far. I just crossed the river into Queens.
I know you wrote and directed many episodes of MASH, some of the best ones, in fact. And
well, thank you.
But does the prospect of, say, directing, say, a show like, a comedy like 30 Rock and the pace at which it moves sort of give you a chill, or would you ever want to tackle that?
No, I don't think so. It makes me very happy now when a director has to worry about where to put the camera and how to organize a shot and get the day in before everybody has to go home. And it's not me who has to worry about it. It's just one of the extra pleasures in life not to have to worry about those things. It's interesting. So many people want to be directors. You know, there's an old joke that somebody is meeting Mother Teresa and telling her how wonderful she is, and she says, "Yeah, but you know what I really want to do is direct." And it's because everybody wants to. But I did that already. I did it on MASH. I did it in several movies that I wrote and directed. For the experience itself, I don't really need to do it anymore. And I don't need that feeling of power. There is a wonderful feeling of power when you're a director, especially on a big movie, less so on a television show. But you can say, I'd really like that building painted yellow. And the next day it's yellow. Or you say, I'd like to have it moved over there. And it's gone. So that, I guess that feels pretty good. But I don't think I need that. And I'm okay without it. So, no, I'm very happy to just play. On 30 Rock and in movies and that kind of thing.
What advice would you give to actors to maybe just starting out?
Make sure it's the only thing in your life that you can do. Make sure you have plenty of other interests so that when you're waiting to get work, your life will be satisfying. And if you never get work, you'll have something else to go to that you have a passion for. Make sure you have a spouse or a partner who shares your values, because that may be the only person you'll ever meet who shares your values. And I would say study improvising, because that gets to the heart of acting, which is connecting with the other people.
You said pretty East Coast-centric in your career, I think. I don't know if you lived in Los Angeles, and if not, was that ever a detriment to your for getting roles or work for you?
For a long time, we lived out there about half the year, and then when we had grandchildren, that got to be hard to do, and we lived there less and less. But we always had a home in the East, partly because our children were growing up here, and we didn't want to make the move. Is that your dog?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Did your dog have a question? It wasn't so much that we were Eastern centric as that we were more children centric, and we were watching out for where, you know, we didn't want to pull them out of where they were living.
Know how you first got involved with 30 Rock?
They called me up and they asked me if I wanted to be Alec Baldwin's father, and I was delighted. It's very funny it's a funny feeling to work with people who you consider your colleagues and to realize that they actually are young enough to be your children. You know, Alec and Tina and pretty much everybody on the set could be, you know, is young enough to be a child of mine. And yet, there's no sense on my part that I'm any older than them. I look at Alec and I think in some way, well, we're sort of the same age, you know, we have a wealth of experience that we share, and I think, wait a minute, I have daughters the same age, you know, so it's kind of it's funny when I step back and reflect on it.
It's amazing to see you play with Elaine Stritch. Have you enjoyed it as well?
Oh, yeah. You know, she's remarkable. When we were shooting this episode that's going to be on Thursday night, she was coming in and shooting for a full day, which is tiring for anybody. And then she was going out at night and leaving the set and going to do a Broadway musical, a little night music, which is to do a musical takes a tremendous amount of energy, but you have to act and sing at the same time, and everything has to be precise, because if you can't forget the lyrics because the band keeps playing, you know, and you're under a certain amount of pressure. And she was doing two full-time jobs at the same time. And I admired her energy very much.
And do you have a favorite episode of MASH?
No, I don't. I get asked that a lot, but I don't. I tried to figure it out once.
And
I think there were about 15 or 20 shows at the top of my list, but no single favorite. I liked the most the ones where we told the story in a different way, like the dreams episode or the black and white interview episode, or where the camera was the eyes of the patient, the point of view from the point of view of the patient. And those shows that were very different stick out in my head, because we took a risk and we shook up the format. And it always reminds me that the audience was generous with us and let us play around like that. But we had a feeling that they'd let us come back the following week, even if they didn't go for the shift as much as we hoped they would. But as it turned out, I think that was one of the pleasures of watching the show, was to see what we were going to try to do next.
We are especially big fans of your work on the stage, and in particular the musical Apple Tree.
Oh.
And we were wondering if you had any plans to do any more musicals.
I don't have any plans. And musicals are hard for me because I get thrown out of the glee club in high school because I couldn't sing in tune at the time. I can sing in tune now, but I have to work really hard on it to make sure that I don't exercise one of my great talents, which is the ability to sing in three keys at the same time. But when I work on it, I can do it. But it's a little scary. But then I like to do scary things. So I mean, eventually I may do it. But I'm not so sure I want to show up eight times a week. That's why I admire Elaine Stritch so much. That she really digs in and gives her all to it. But you know how politicians are always saying they want to spend more time with their family? Well, I actually do.
I know you said you don't watch TV too much, but yeah. Excluding Jack Donaghy, which character currently on TV today do you actually enjoy and watch the most?
I love, what's his name on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, Larry David?
Yeah, I think he's really created a Molière character that's so risky. I mean, it's amazing that you can enjoy watching that schmuck week after week.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but he's so offbeat and off-base that it's delicious to see the mistakes he makes. It's a little bit like Archie Bunker was, where he gave voice to attitudes and a temperament that you never saw before on television, and didn't said many regrettable things, but it's even a slyer version of that. I think I've never been on that set, but as I understand it, he writes an outline and they improvise most of it. Is that what you understand?
Yeah, that's right. Is that something you would do one day?
Oh, I would love it. I love to improvise. And I started out as an improviser. And I was always suggesting on the MASH set that we do a little improvising. We never did. You know, a lot of people ask us, did we we improvised much. We didn't improvise a smidgen. Every word was as written. But we did one episode where that was improvised, and it was one of our special ones, which was the interview show, one of the black and white interview shows where we improvised a lot of the most of the speeches that were then reorganized and punched up by Larry Gelbart. And then there were moments that were improvised on the spot, where the interviewer was just asking his questions on camera that we had never heard before, and we would answer in character. So that was really a lot of fun. I see movies now that where improvisation is used much more than it ever has been before, and those movies tend to be really interesting in terms of the performances because they're much more spontaneous.
Talk a little bit about your time on a Dirty Rock set, and I was wondering what it was like for you to formulate this character. Obviously, the writers, you know, come up with so much material, but when you were there on set working with Alec and Elaine, did you start to think of some other ideas to bring to the table?
No, I just do what they say. You know, what's in the script is what I do, They're really, you know, that writing is very, very carefully worked out. There are a lot of people working on those scripts. We did a table reading of this this show that's going to be on Thursday night, and we were at it. Usually, you're at a table, and there are, you know, six or seven writers there. I don't know who all these people were. There was a room full of about 50 people, and they were all involved in creating the show. So it was like an audience. It was like you did an off-Broadway play that morning, and it was really exciting to do that because you got live reactions to the humor, and it sparked everybody into another level of energy, the actors. It was a very interesting experience. It was a table read of a kind I hadn't been to before because there were so many people involved. So I really enjoyed that. But I get an answer to your question. I get what I find to do, I find in the script. And I you know, I examine the script to try to see what veins are there to be explored, but I don't. I just because I write and I direct, I don't. It doesn't mean that I offer the suggestions in those areas when I go to work with other people. They have their own inspiration, and I try to serve that.
In terms of just working with Alec on some of these scenes, you guys have incredible chemistry together. So is that something that kind of came together naturally, or how did that start to develop?
Yeah, Alec and I know each other off camera a little bit, and you know, bump into each other from time to time, and I think professionally and personally, we both enjoy one another and one another's company. And I think we respect one another as actors. So it is fun to play opposite somebody when you have that going for you. There's an extra charge. You know, it's like those machines in the old fashioned movies where that giant spark goes from one pole to another. That's what happens when you're playing with another actor that you really enjoy, both as an actor and as a person. And I think we both have that.
I really love the four seasons that you wrote, directed, and starred in with Carol Burnett. Was that a good experience for you? And if so,
one of the very happy experiences that I have in my memory, because I loved working with those people. It was a script that came out of experiences in my life, and my family was involved, and my wife was taking pictures and writing a book about what it was like to be on a set, and I used her photographs. She did a whole special series of photographs for the movie that because one of the characters was a photographer, and our two of our daughters were in the movie. So it was a very happy time, and I think it turned out probably better than any other picture I wrote and directed. So I had a great time doing it. I had nice memories of it.
And on MASH, you shot half the season on an outdoor set, and then the other half of the season indoors, replicating that outdoor set. Do you miss working out of doors?
Not when it gets cold. Although the cold was responsible for some of the camaraderie that we had on that set. We had an enormous amount of camaraderie. But when we shot the pilot, we did it in December. When it can get really cold in the mountains in Malibu in December, and we were all wearing Hawaiian shirts. It was supposed to be summer, and we were freezing, so we would stand with our arms around one another by huge pots of fires, you know, big oil drums that had fires in them, just to keep warm between the shots. So you get to know the cast very well if you spend 2 weeks hugging each other. And that sort of put us in the same boat together. But we would shoot a day or so, a day or two of each episode outdoors. And when it got too cold and the days were too short, we wouldn't go out at all, and we would do the whole show indoors. But we had a set indoors that looked like you were outdoors part of the time too. I mean, we had interiors and exteriors of the sets, and we had a big cyclorama that represented Korea. So if you shot, you know, across the soundstage with that in the background, if it was lit well, it looked like you were outside.
Well, I know you're obviously a really good multitasker, since you acted and wrote and directed MASH often at the same time. And I know for one season you even created and wrote another sitcom. I think it was called Getting By. Is that what it was?
We'll Get By.
We'll Get By. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And so I was just wondering, what's your secret to having such creative bursts of energy and being able to multitask like that?
While I was doing MASH, I did two or three pilots plus We'll Get By, and then right after MASH, I did a short series based on the four seasons, and I was doing a lot of this stuff at the same time. In fact, while I was doing the series for four seasons, both my parents were dying, and I would be writing the show while I was being driven in cars back and forth to hospitals, and that was an example of pressure. You can't you really don't know you're going to get this pressure. Just comes at you sometimes. You can't prepare against it. But the only way I could deal with it was to do what I was doing when I was doing it and not think about the other deadlines that were still hanging over my head from all the other things I was doing. So if I was going to spend 15 minutes on one of those tasks, whether it was being at my mother's bedside or acting a scene when I knew I had to come up with a written scene 2 hours after that, I wouldn't think about anything but what I was doing at the time. And that's kind of good training for the rest of your life, even if you're not having to multitask, because whatever you're doing deserves the attention you have. That's why it drives me nuts when I'm with somebody who, usually it's a very young person, who's supposed to be having a conversation but is texting while they're talking. I mean, if you're talking, talk. If you're texting, text. You really can't. Multitasking, I don't think, is possible. You can't really do two things at once. You have to do one thing at a time and really do it. Otherwise, you don't even know you're living. You don't even know you're alive. At least that's the way I look at it. Yeah, I hope I said that right, because I'm playing chess on the computer while we're talking.
You were coming from such an iconic role as Hawkeye Pierce, and I wanted to know, is there anything you do consciously when you're doing a new role that Hawkeye would have done that or said that? Is there anything you do consciously to step aside from that role? Do you ever think typecast?
Well, you know, I think you're right. I don't think I have been typecast. I think maybe one of the reasons why is that while I was doing MASH, I was able to play other characters in movies, and so I sort of registered as an actor and not as that character. But I don't consciously try to be different. I just try to play the character. You know, every character is a little different, and it doesn't bother me if a character is a little like another character I've played, as long as I can try sincerely to be fully who that person is.
I've been doing this for a long time, and everyone seems so... We're such in reverence of talking to a man like you. You've been doing this for so long, and you have such a great
track
record.
That's the worst thing you could possibly say.
my question is...
I don't have to make this kind of talk, but...
do you have an idea of the impact you've had on pop culture, your show, MASH, what it has done has become such a hit that will be remembered for hundreds of years, and what you've done? I mean, are you cognizant of it? Do you not think about it?
No, I'm sort of semi-aware of it, but not. I don't think in any way the way you're describing it. And I have to tell you that when we were in the midst of doing it, we really had no idea of the impact we were having, because we were just working as hard as we could to do good shows. Or as Jack Benny once said, he said, I try never to do a lousy show. And that's actually a pretty good standard. But people, in the beginning, we were shocked that people would come up to us in airports and say, and they'd whisper, "Keep up the good work," like we were part of some kind of an underground movement. And the night that the show ended, and we drove through the streets and saw that the streets were empty because everybody was home, about half the country.
Yeah.
Half the population of the country was watching the show at the same time. And it was a shock to us. We really didn't understand until that moment what kind of an impact the program had, which is good, because otherwise you'd get a little stiff, you know, get a little self-important.
Thanks so much, Alan, and thank you guys for listening. This site takes a lot of work, so as always, I thank you for supporting our advertisers. And keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, columns, and resources. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.